Welcome to Power Yourself, where I talk about the most important topic in the world, you.
Welcome back. Today's episode of Power Yourself is with a dear, dear friend of mine. I am privileged to have had her along my journey in life. And now I get the honor of bringing her back on the show so that everybody here gets to benefit from this beautiful soul. Allie, welcome back.
Nice to see you, my beautiful friend. Hello.
Hello.
Here we are recording in November of 2023. Yeah. It's this gray day here in Naramata, BC, but I see this incredible warm West Coast, warm prairie light shining through the back of your gorgeous window in Calgary. So we have a little darkness and a little bit of light. It's a great combination to talk about what you've asked me to come on and share with you today. So I'm just so honored to see your beautiful face and to be here with your incredible listeners. So thank you. Thanks for the honor.
As you say that, Allie, what's popping up for me is even just the, because like I love that you just acknowledged land, just then space. So if that's, if we can take a second and let's just acknowledge that right now. I'm trying to make that more of a practice for me as well, coming into this space, coming into the land. And for me, that means even acknowledging the land that I'm on. And as you mentioned, I'm in Calgary, Alberta. And so that's, for Alberta, it's recognized as Treaty 6, 7, and 8 region and the homeland of the Métis. So I just really want to say that out loud, and I do that as an act of reconciliation before I get this going today. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I am on the land, unceded territory of the Tsleil people here in Naramata. I do the same honor, the borrowed land that I'm on and the privilege of living and playing and working and being on it. So there we go. What a lovely way to begin.
Thank you, sweetheart. With that, the topic today that we're holding space for, I it's interesting because I feel this connection with us, and yet that's the topic today. So how relevant, I don't want to say serendipitous, but in a way, it just feels very holistic, very fitting for me. So that's it, folks. That's the topic we're going to dive into and explore the ins and outs of connection. What does that actually mean? What does it look like? What's the impact? And so that will be the journey of this podcast today. So maybe let's initiate the talk with a little bit of a definition. If I were to ask you, my friend, Allie, how would you describe what connection is?
It's hundreds of thousands of things, but in a sweet little missive that people can remember is that connection is a sacred heart bond between one blessing and one breath. A sacred heart bond between one blessing and one breath. So you have this one blessing that comes your way, whether it's a person or a moment in nature or a stranger you've never met, someone that you know quite intimately, and you have this bond, this sacred bond where you get to have this opportunity to be in the blessing of that person, of that thing, of that moment. And one breath later, the connection is gone. So boom, you're in. And then the next one you're on, and then that gives you an opportunity to be perhaps in another connection with the same person or the same being or the same moment in nature, but that moment is gone. So the sacred heart bond between one blessing and one breath.
I love that you're opening up the definition to mean multiple things. So it's not just connection with a physical person. I'm hearing connection with space, connection with universe, connection with an array of different possibilities and things.
Connect self first and foremost is that how are you honoring the connection to you? Connection to other, which could be, you know, how are you joining with other? Other person, other place, other thing, other moment, animal, mineral, the water, with the fire, with the sky, with the stars. Connection with self, connection with other, connection with community. So how are you being and belonging and allowing the belonging of connection to your family of blood, your family of choice, your family of your neighborhood, which is local, provincial, national, and these days, certainly in the last 3 years, the global, how do we connect? What does that look like in belonging to the global community? And then the fourth rung for me would be your connection to the divine. Whatever the divine looks like, feels like, breathes like for you. Whatever your values are, whatever your belief systems are, whatever you believe in, whatever the divine is for you, how are you in connection in your own vision and your own definition of the divine, what works for you? So four different areas: self, other, community, and divine. So many different, I guess I would call them areas.
Mm-hmm. Options.
Areas. Options. Mm-hmm. Sure. Better. Options. Areas of focus. Here we go.
What's coming up as you talk, as you acknowledge the four pieces, that connection is associated with you, for you. Self. You know, like I know our goal, we're going to probably focus a little bit on people, connection with other people for today. Knowing, I think, the four areas is super important because it's acknowledging that connection's just not with other people. But the one thing that's, again, really popping up is the relevancy, the relevant piece of self. And as you're talking, Allie, that foundational connection, which is what I would say self is, connecting with oneself, it's that foundational piece that gives us that opportunity to these other elements, I feel, other focuses, as you've just referred to. And so if that's cool, can we start there, because I think that's an important concept before we talk about like the other people that we want to try to have connection with and what that could look like. But if I were to say connection with myself, what meaning does that hold for you? What's popping up for you as I say that?
It's such, when it's working, it's so magical. Mm-hmm. And when you're connection with yourself, it can be so incredibly detrimental to your heart, to your health, to those around you. So if we talk about what is super powerful about connection to self, it's in the physical, the psychological, the emotional, and the spiritual. So body, mind, heart, spirit. all day long, body, mind, heart, spirit. So how am I connecting to myself physically? How am I moving my body? How am I resting? How am I nourishing my body? Do I have any substances that I'm using that are not healthy for me? And I know that, and what can I do about that? Am I moving in a cardiovascular sense, and am I also moving anaerobically? So am I finding time for my breath and my Tai Chi and my Qigong, or just lying on the mat and doing a little guided meditation? So physically, psychologically, what am I reading? What am I listening to? What am I watching? What am I scrolling? Who am I following on the TikTok, on the Insta, on the Facebook, such a many, 59, almost 60. Who am I surrounding myself with when it comes to books and media and podcasts? So trying to be really choiceful about, oh, is that bringing me closer to myself, or is that, and who I want to be, or is that separating me from? So that's the psychological piece. The third is the emotional piece. How we say that the heart is connected to art. So where are you being in art? Where are you allowing your heart to sing? Do you play a musical instrument? Do you sing? Do you dance in the kitchen in the morning? Do you have music on instead of, you know, the news of the day, which these days is, and it has been for years now, heavy. Mm-hmm. So how can you be connected to art? What does that look like? Gardening, baking, making cards, knitting, you name it. Where is your art? And then the last piece, which is connected to the divine as well, but really, where are you in spirit? If you pray, if you meditate, if you gratitude journal, if you pick angel cards, if you have a little ritual around your dinner table with your family around. Some families do roses and thorns. That's a really beautiful spiritual practice at the end of the day. What was really great? What did you learn and what did you teach someone today? So when it comes to self, and this is just you in and of yourself, how am I taking care of my body? How am I taking care of my mind? How am I taking care of my heart through art? And how do I have my own, all of these are rituals. How do I have my own rituals around my body, my mind, my heart, my spirit, so that I can nourish all of those things alone in connection to me, and then gift it out to the rest of the world? Like, what a gift. I gift myself first, and then I share it. I share the bounty of my self-preservation, my self-connection, my self-rituals with others. And I'll just say around self, and when we bring other and community into other and then community into this connective piece, this will also enhance this. But I want to say to listeners, it's about rituals, like having things to that you know are coming every single day. And then it's about celebration. You know, what can you celebrate? What can you put in your calendar? What choices can you make around connection every day to celebrate something? And the anticipation of always having something to look forward to. Like, isn't it wonderful when you wake up in the morning and you think, oh, the first thing I'm going to do when I open my eyes, I'm going to thank the divine, or I'm going to thank my partner, or I'm just going to thank the universe or Mother Nature, whoever it is, for another day. And here, thank you for my breath, and thank you for the opportunity to be alive and to you know, to be of service to self and others. So rituals, celebration, anticipation, in your body, mind, heart, spirit. That's the connection to self.
Ali, your language is so beautiful around this, so clear, so succinct, Side question, really. How did you get so much clarity on the language of what this is? Like, this is, you're offering up such what I feel can be a very complicated thing or undervalued thing. But even the way you're explaining it right now, Ellie, like, it's creating such a can-do opportunity, I feel, when I'm listening to you.
It's interesting. I think that a few things. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for the lovely compliment. I'm so grateful. I had parents who, mother and father, who celebrated everything. Mm-hmm. 5 kids, really privileged life. And if you came 4th out of 4 in the Kiwanis Music Festival, there was cake.
Let there be cake.
We also celebrated around food, but that's another podcast.
Me and you both.
That's a whole other podcast around, yeah. But I think that, so I grew up with, and God rest their souls, dad's been gone 30 years next week. My dad took his last breath and my mother 9 years in January, actually on your birthday, bless you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So on your birthday was her death day. And it's so lovely that I get to have, again, the beautiful juxtaposition now on that day, get to celebrate you. But having said that, so I learned celebration and I learned joy, joy, joy all mm-hmm. the time, no matter what, as a kid and growing up, mm-hmm. they were cheerleaders. And I learned the anticipation of having something to look forward to. When my dad died, my mom was 65 and, she lived another 23 years. And she always had something to look forward to. She always had a bridge club or a movie night with a friend or tickets to the theater in this place and that place. Or she would write, you know, on her calendar, Allie visiting with the big happy face and the days I was there. And she would, you know, and one of the kids from away was visiting or someone was coming home or... So there was always something. There was, you know, her walks, her this, and she planned it. And it's so funny, I've become her, and I love that part of becoming her. And it keeps me connected to her spiritually in that I've got something every day. The third component is after 13 or 14 years of being a psychotherapist and 15,000 patients, most people are not coming in for very complicated, they don't want complicated answers. They just want to know, what are a couple of things I can try over the next couple of weeks to help me catch my breath, to help with my panic, to help with my anxiety, to help with my grief, to help with my relationship with my husband, daughter, father, sister, partner, neighbor, friend, mm-hmm. who I've had a rub with, where I've been disconnected. How can I be more connected to them? And it really starts with self always. And it's so foreign to most people. I call it dating yourself, especially people who are just out of a relationship. They're just separated or just divorced. And I say, try dating yourself for a year. Do all the things for you that you would do when you're throwing yourself at your partner in the honeymoon period. What would you do? You know, and people are like, that is so weird. I'm like, nope, go to a movie, pick the favorite seat, right? Have a bath, iron the shirt, put on a pretty dress, go out for dinner by yourself, do whatever. But, you know, and if I had to be sort of quirky and kitschy about it, I'd say, you know, date yourself every day, whether you're in partnership or not.
But Allie, like, yeah. Hun, that is my truth. Like, I believe that. I believe that that connection with self is, and this might sound cheesy to folk, but if you've listened in and you know me at all, I'm layered with cheese.
You're layered. Totally.
Layered. But yeah. That's...
And it's so sweet today, and I love this. I love that you were so connected to yourself that you texted me and said... hey, can I have an extra 30 minutes? I need to nourish. I really need to, you know, I need to have a bite to eat. And I'm taking a little bit longer. And I was like, oh, what a perfect example of connection to self. Listening to your body so that you can be, and I know you always are, and you can be even more present to the time we have together. So it's perfect. It was just, when I got your text, I was like, yep, bingo, taking care of her. So that's great. So that's self.
But that makes it easier when you have people surrounding you that can really respect that relationship with yourself, you know, that you're able to ask for what you need. So we'll talk a little bit about that in just a bit. But even like just to go back to that self relationship and the weight that it has, like I feel that is our compass, right? Like the line I was going to say was, I feel connection with self is, that's the greatest fairy tale there is. Yeah. You know, like that fairy tale relationship, that's you with you. And that gives space and energy and opportunity to all the other possibilities. But I fully believe it needs to start here, almost like the falling in love.
And I lived happily ever after.
Right? Say that again, because I think you cut out a bit.
Yeah, no, I said, and I put my own glass slipper on, and I lived happily ever, and I danced at the ball, and I lived happily ever after.
Yes.
And whoever was in my presence, whoever I was blessed enough to be in connection with, aren't I blessed that I got to be the best version of my fairy tale self? And look, it's an 80-20 rule. I mean, we'll talk about the tricky stuff too.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I had years of resentment in the times where I wasn't connecting to myself. I wasn't making myself a priority. And there was about a decade there in my, you know, banking career time where I put my career first and everything else was second. And I had such resentment and such jealousy and envy around people in my life who would be at the gym every morning and who would leave a meeting late or would leave a meeting early to pick up family or to put themselves first. And they were always fit and they were always present and they were always so, I just thought it was so pious. It was so incredible. And I've been able to tell those people decades later, now I get it, because I had to learn. I had to find my way to, sorry, I can't meet at that time because I have, you know, XYZ that's going to make me better for me and for you when I finally meet with you. I need an extra 30 minutes. I need to have a bite to eat.
So, Ali, when you say that, what's coming up for me is by us taking in what I see as the time to invest, the time to commit to finding who we are, what is connection for us, what is that mind, you know, as you said, you know, what am I feeding my mind with? What am I feeding my heart, my soul, my, you know, spirit, even my body physically, what am I doing? By taking that time and fusing that connection with self first, it creates that different level of connection with other people. Because I love how you mentioned that decade when you weren't, you felt those repercussions.
I felt the repercussions in so many ways, and not being present, not showing up for birthdays, not calling family for weeks, just not being, you know, not putting, nothing was a priority. I wasn't a priority, and therefore no one else was a priority. I don't think I was a bad person.
No.
But I was definitely not present to what was really important in life. And so, and then to be able to have these super vulnerable and authentic conversations with my connection role models, And to say, this is what I learned from you, and this is what I saw, and this is what I watched, and this is what made me so angry. And now I was just really angry at myself for not caring for myself. And first. So I think that it's a really beautiful opportunity to say, wow, you know, I'm so blessed that I got it now. Now I got it. I got the magic. I got the magic now. And it will help with my longevity. And for as long as I'm on this earth, I'm just a better person.
And that's
being connected to myself. That's it. I'm just nicer to be around and better to be with you and more of service. And it's just easier.
But that's, I think, I was under a misconception earlier in my life that is something that's automatic, you know? And it wasn't till I did the work myself and fell in love with myself that I see a different quality that now exists because I took that time to make my own magic. And I didn't wait for somebody else to give it to me. I didn't wait for a certain thing in life to happen that created it. I did the work to find out what is connection. And I guess for me, as we're talking, I just wanted to hold some intentional space to say, like, this isn't easy. This is why probably society is not that much of a happy place. Like, not everybody does this work. It's not easy work. It's not intuitive. There's no one recipe. And it takes effort and energy.
Yeah.
And what a magical chapter it can open if you allow that space and energy and accountability to find out what that is for you.
So what would you be curious about when it comes to connection to other, now that you know the magical recipe for self?
Oh, switching the tables, are we?
Always on my own podcast. No, I'm just curious around other, I'm just curious to know what your curiosity is. So it's what I can share with you.
Oh, well, for me, the reason I wanted you on for this episode is because I see the quality that you put in for yourself, holding that space, and how we create our connection because of that quality and quality on both ends. Now, is it always there? Like, sometimes I'm not my best self, you know, like, and, you know, I think because of the way that we show up, we still get a quality connection. So, you know, like, that was important to me. I think what I hear a lot of with people is almost like an expectation that connection is supposed to be there. And I feel that that's another misconception, like, not only that we connect with ourselves automatically, because that takes effort. First myth, bust it. Second myth I kind of want to bust here today is that it's automatic with other people, that it's to be taken for granted, it's to be expected, and it's really not, you know, like, it is something to cherish, and it is intentional. And I think as you ask me that question, what's coming up for me the most into creating connection with others after having it for ourselves, now taking that next step of having a true connection, like I feel I have with you, Allie, it's then honoring your own self and your connection with self, and honoring another person's self, connection with their self, and authentically creating connection together is what's popping up.
Yeah. And so how, which is perfect, which is exactly how you create, how you engage, how you manifest, use all words you want, the bond between the blessing and the breath. right? You have that in yourself. And now how do I create that with other? There's a few things that have been real winners for me and in my practice, in my therapeutic alliances. One is, in a relationship, there's a rose and a gardener. In every relationship and every connection, there's a rose and a gardener, someone who's being held and someone is doing the holding, somebody who is doing the watering and the pruning, and the whatever else you do with roses. Clearly, I'm not a gardener. The hoeing and the fertilizing, you know, the giving, essentially, the giving of self, and the other who's in the receiving end, right? That's the piece of the bond. So what I always say to people is there's a rose and a gardener in every relationship. Be both. Mm. Be both. Be in a place of receiving when you are the rose and when someone is gifting themselves to you and tending to you in your time of grief or tending to you when you're sick or when you're having a crappy day. And don't always depend on that person or that person to do all the giving, because the bond will sever eventually because it's exhausting. So be the rose, know how to receive, and be the gardener, find a way to tend. And how do you tend to that connection to other? You ask good questions. You show up, you ask really good questions. What's going on for you right now? What just happened? What can I do to support you? You know, how can I help? And then you be consistent. Over and over and over again, you check in with people. So be the rose and be the gardener. Show up, ask really great open-ended questions, then wait for the answers. Mm-hmm. Wait. And then be consistent. Remember death days when people's parents take their last breath. Remember first days of work and babies' birthdays and, you know, the last day of high school for your friends' kids, or their first day of college when the parents are sobbing and the kids are dropping off to college. They've been dying to be empty nesters for 19 years and now they're inconsolable. Be consistent around, that's the piece around the connection, is not just the big stuff, but all the little things.
And when you say that, to me, what's popping up, because you say something specific like birthdays, death days, stuff like that, what I hear when you say that is remember and honor what those sacred people in your life, what their preferences are, what's important to them, you know, what really honors and recognizes them, and show up for that is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so easy now with, I mean, you used to have to pick up an actual rotary dial phone and phone someone or write a letter and put a stamp on it. So I'm not saying out there in podcast land that there are no excuses, but I'm kind of saying there are no damn excuses. Like, pick up your phone, you know, it's like the kids who don't respond to their parents. It's like, you have no, we had a pay phone in our hallway that we had to get quarters from the cafeteria so that we could call home. I mean, there is no, however, having said that, I give people grace, you know, whether it's a call or a text or an audio message or an angel card or an actual letter or a postcard or, you know, just is three little words, thinking of you, saw this today, thinking of you, remembered this time, thinking of you, saw this Facebook memory that we made, thinking of you. When you came to visit me last July, a year ago July, and that memory came up and the picture comes up on my phone, I just think, oh, I can viscerally go back to our time at the Naramata Center Beach. And my heart, I just take a big, deep breath and think, thank God you were there at that moment. And we were there holding space for each other in that beautiful, warm, July day. And for me to be able to write to you and say, oh, It's been a year. It's been 2 years since we've been together. Here's the picture of us. That's it. That's all. For most people, that'll give you another year, another year in friendship. You know, I am thinking of you on this day because mm-hmm. I'm thinking of you at this moment because I had a lovely dream last night of a friend, Lynn Thorsell, beautiful woman I went to university, did my master's with in Seattle. She lives on Vancouver Island. Haven't seen her for a long time, but a lovely dream about yoga. Mm. We were doing yoga together. And so I just reached out this morning and said, thinking of you, we did yoga all night together. And I woke up feeling very refreshed. But, you know, wherever you are, I hope this finds you. I hope this finds you well. Mm. I missed doing yoga with you in the morning when we were roommates at college. Yeah. So sweet. Or, you know, another example, I talk about this a lot, is grief. Mm. Acknowledging the first year of loss and the second year of loss for someone. A very, very best friend who lost her dad a month ago, and lots of friends of mine losing their parents. I'm of that age. Mm-hmm. And a neighbor lost his wife again a month ago. I never met her, didn't know her, never laid eyes on her. And I've lived here 12 years. And yet to see him walking the dog last week with his daughter and to stop and say, I'm so sad to hear. I don't know you very well. I know we've only passed each other when I'm on my bike and you're walking your dog, but I've heard such beautiful stories about your lovely wife, and I just want to acknowledge your pain. And that's not easy to say to people you love, let alone to strangers. Mm-hmm. But their faces lit up for about 8 minutes, their pain went away. And I have as much discomfort as anybody talking about grief and death. But, you know, and I got all the training in the world as a therapist. But man, when you can feel how they feel for a moment because you've taken the pain away, or that you've added to an already light-filled day to somebody who is already celebrating something magical, or you make a tiny little something amazing. Somebody, yeah, you know, you thought it was going to be great when the teenagers left, but I know you're sobbing. I can hear you all the way to Ottawa. Yeah. So be there, show up, ask good questions, be consistent when you can. Life's busy.
When you can.
And be the gardener and be the rose. Be a good gardener and a really beautiful rose all at the same time, and watch that. Because some people who are natural givers, the connection sours, the bond can break if one person's always doing all the gardening. Your back gets sore and your nails get broken and you get sunburns if you're always the gardener.
So much coming up, Ali, as you talk. And I just wanted to give this space because your words, like, I always feel so wise. And so much opportunity for people, I feel, in your words. You know, you're talking, what I'm hearing is that give and take in relationship, that being able to receive as much as showing up and being able to offer and give to others. You know, again, remembering the starting with self, and then this is like the second prong, the second step kind of thing. But in all of that descriptions, examples of what you said, what came up for me is conscious effort, you know, quality, but effort. And I think, like, this is the whole reason I wanted to do this topic. It's that I really get a sense that some people feel connection is automatic, and if it's there or it's not there. And I like to remind people that it takes, again, your beautiful words of giving, taking, the gardener, the rose, conscious effort of reaching out. You know, if they're always the person that reach out, yeah, that might make it unequal. And as you said, sever relationship. So are you giving and taking?
Yeah, and tired. It just get the person just gets exhausted. The person who's always doing the giving gets a bit exhausted.
Yeah.
It's like, I've heard people say to me, you know, could someone just pick up the phone and call for a change, invite me for a change, right? Like it's really this, and you don't give to get back. Like right? There's the, that's not why people are giving their love and their love and their memories and their silly little texts and gifts. That's not why people are in connection in the first place. But you just have to watch the balance, right? It's that it goes back to 70-30. If it's 90-10 all the time, it just gets heavy. Mm-hmm. It gets heavy.
Interesting word you just stroke there. Balance. Because if I remember, that was the card you pulled for today as well. Interesting.
Our little card for our time together. Yes. So is that helpful so far? Are you getting what you need here, my dear?
Conversation with you, Allie, is what I wanted on the topic of connection.
Such a great gardener. I feel like the room right now. Good job.
But it's truth, right? So the big, like I said, the reason I wanted to hold space for this conversation today is I think people just assume connection is easy, automatic. It's just about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So before we were going to, I think you and I were going to talk about impact.
Yep. We'll go there next.
But impact. I wanted to mention one more thing, if I may,
please,
before impact, which was finding your connect. We talked about self, and then we talked about more of a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
The is, you know, how can I be in connection to my community, to my neighborhood, to groups? And I want to say to people out there, the greatest gift you can give yourself, even if you're an introvert, biological introvert, is to be in a place where you can join, you can volunteer, you can teach, you can share your gifts with a larger group. So lots of opportunities to be in, to join, whether it's knitting groups and book clubs and choirs and running groups and you name it, church group, you name it. Wherever you find your passion, wherever you find your connection to self and you want to enhance that, join with other people who have shared experience, so important to your mental health, and to and volunteer your time, share your gifts, teach kids, teach seniors how to use computers, let kids teach you how to use computers. You know, I think that's the next level of growing your heart, since we're in the Christmas, you know, you grow our 10,000 times, is to take all that goodness that you share with one person and both join, like I said, volunteer, teach and share your gifts with community. And you can also do that online.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of folks don't love showing up with groups of people. So find really great online groups and courses online and one-offs, and just there's so much goodness and opportunity to connect in the world. And I just want to invite people to, like I said, figure out what your gift is and give it away, because it'll make you feel way better than you ever. It'll grow your heart and your own connectedness to yourself, which will bring is the full circle. In ways that you never even imagined. It's back to the magic.
But that's also, I feel, something that's not well known. It's the giving takes energy, it takes effort, and some people feel a place of scarcity, you know, already, or limited time. And what a little bit of the unknown is, or not, you know, commonly understood by all, is that giving also creates those positive energies within yourself, and double layer, spreads it out into society, into the universe, which, let's be real, we need more positive energy. We need more of that genuine generosity of energy and space, love, basically, in essence, you know, connection, all of these words. We need more if we are to do better.
And here's a little tip for folks. You don't have to volunteer every week at the same time and for the same thing. There's lots of great ways that you can go into your community or into the world and volunteer for a time. You can go travel and do a 4-week mission somewhere and be done. Mm-hmm. You can just sing at your local craft fair if you have a voice from 5 till 8 on one Friday a year. You can go and work in a community garden, you know, when you can, you know, like it doesn't have to be. I think people get nervous mm-hmm. about volunteering or volunteer boards or sharing their gifts or teaching, right? You know, or if you're going to go be in a group, again, you don't have to go and see the knitters every Friday. You can just go when you feel like it. You can go to a yoga workshop once a month. You don't have to go to the studio. So just remember, one-offs are great. One-offs are magic. People love it when you come. It doesn't matter how often. So don't be afraid to join, or don't be afraid to put your hand up for something that you really love and that you're really good at, and that's going to make you feel really great and make other people feel really great about their connection to you and to each other. But don't feel like, oh yeah, connect. Oh my God, now I have to join something to be connected. No, you don't have to join anything. Just think about what would add. How can I be of service? How can being in a group of shared experience, people with the same experience, how's that going to fill me up? And scene.
And right? Again, you know, I love it how you said, like, it circles back to self, right? And that's where we started today, the conversation of knowing oneself, taking that time, energy, connecting with oneself, knowing what's important. How do we nourish, as you said, the body, the mind, the heart, the spirit? And then connection with other people. How do I honor that in me and honor that in them and create that, you know, that moment, that space that we connect? And then as you just extend it, how that looks for community as well. How do we share those gifts back? So very much a full circle in this conversation right now is what I'm feeling. I feel I usually do, you're right, structure it with, you know, what is it? Impact usually comes up. I do feel we've talked about impact with each. So let's highlight, let's revisit, just so we can acknowledge what that impact of doing this work with self, connection, and then connecting with others. And then we'll round it out with holding space for some tips that you want to give out to people. Okay, so impact, what I'm hearing, and Ali, I'm going to get you to chime in here, with self starting there, when we don't do it, it's that, you know, balance is popping up for me, but we won't feel the balance within ourselves. More of those negativity, kind of, you mentioned resentment. It's that place of scarcity is what's coming up. Please add in.
Yeah, this scarcity, lack. Of perfect, lack of purpose, lack of worth, mm-hmm. kind of overwhelming lack, scarcity, sadness, anger, resentment, loneliness. And we get into tricky habits, right? We get into tricky habits, and at the end of the day, health risks. Is, you know, this, so that's the, you know, the impact on the human spirit if we don't connect at all with self, with other, and, you know, being of service to community, to therefore serve self. So yes, you got it. That's it.
So much.
And the impact if we do, And when we do, not if we do, but when we do, is around this inexplicable feeling of bliss and ease and grace and delight. And, you know, as opposed to not the, you know, the unattended, unheld, unloved, brokenhearted. Mm. When you do connect, it's honored and noticed and regarded and loved and like just fully held and fully embraced and renewed and alive and safe and warm. I mean, I've got the adjectives for the connection. Yeah. But mostly honored and noticed and regarded and loved, both self, other, and community, mm-hmm. is really, yeah, this great sense of, you know, people want three things. They want to love and be loved. They want to know that they're good enough, and they want to belong. And that's it. And you can find that with a connection, teeny little connection to rituals and celebrations and great expectations for self, and knowing that you're having time with your bestie tomorrow keeps you going, and knowing that you're showing up at choir on Tuesday and all those people will be so happy to see you. You know, it's really, really lovely. It's that, it's just that easy. You just have to make really intentional choices.
And so, yes, that's where I kind of want to bring us to end to. It's that it's easy when you do the work. The work is not always easy. Because sometimes... Ooh,
there it is. Good job.
And so be kind to yourself. You know what it's in service of. Know what you're trying to achieve. And there will be hard times. And the whole point of sharing this topic with you all today is the reminder that it is conscious energy and it's worth it.
So worth it, baby. Oh. You are so worth it, people. Beautiful people.
So tips, I feel, have been throughout. You gave us beautiful words, Allie. You simplified things so nicely, looking at body, mind, heart, spirit. That's really popping up for me. How you even looked at, you know, connection being with self. So through those four areas, then also others, community, universe, and divine. I think that is our tips. You know, it's a reminder, look at what they are for you. And then put some conscious effort into that, into creating that, into finding out what that is. And be yourself as you do that. Your authentic self. Honor that. Show up. Encourage that with others. Anything you want to add there, Allie?
I have this sweet little, you know, I've been using the word blessing as a salutation for, oh gosh, 24 years now, I think. And to bless someone or to send a blessing is not about religion or faith or any divine. It's really about my heart to your heart. It's about the abundance. And when I think of the word blessing, you know, and spell it out, it's B is, you know, how you connect your body, and L is how you connect to love and your heart, and E is how you connect to the earth, and S is how you connect to whatever spirit means to you, and the other S is about service, being of service to self and others, and the I in blessing is about imagination. How are you taking care of your creativity and your mind and your imagination? And the N is about neighborhood. How are you taking care of the people next door in your community? And the G is really about being grounded in your breath. And that's the little tiny tip of when you think of the bond between blessing and breath and you spell the word out, those are all the little places that you just want to keep thinking, yeah, I got that, I got that, I got that. Nope, I need a little help with that. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say to people. Remember the blessing. Remember the blessing and the bond between the blessing and the breath, whether it's for self, for other, for community, for divine, for the divine in whatever you believe in and whatever holds you true in your values. And take care of each other. Baby.
And as we say that,
love.
Yeah. What I'd like to do right now, Ellie, is because as you're talking, I know you. I've connected with you over a decade. You know, I see you as a person. And for those, maybe as we wrap up this session right now, if they're gravitating towards you, if they need a little bit more Ellie into their life, I want to just hold space so that not only can you give some connection options for yourself, but Ellie, I know at the beginning I didn't hold space to kind of allow you to introduce. So if you don't mind just holding a little bit of space and time right now to know where these words of wisdom came from.
Aw, my Christian name is Alexandra Paprosky. I live in Naramata, British Columbia. And for my work, my paid work, I'm a psychotherapist. I do individual couples and family work. And when I'm not doing that, I'm moving my body or singing in a choir. I probably gave a few things away when I was talking today. So I love to be in art and I love to sing and make music and move my body and breathe and be with amazing people and create an amazing life. And I have a gorgeous family of blood and an extraordinarily gorgeous as well family of choice all around the world. So if you're looking for support, you can find me at my last name, which is Paprosky, Paprosky.ca. is my website, and I'm happy to be of support. Or if I'm not the person for you, I will connect you, no pun intended, to someone who can support you wherever you are in the world and wherever, whatever your need is around therapeutic support. I'm happy to be an ear and open my heart to you if need. What a gift to spend time with you, my beautiful Jillian. Love you so much.
I am honored to be in your family of choice. I am honored each time you show up and hold space for our connection and our continued connection. You help the world be a better place, Miss Ellie. And I hope you feel that love and connection right back at you. Thank you.
I do. Till next time.
Till next time. Mwah. And to all of you listeners, I hope something spoke to you. I hope something resonated. Sit in that, reflect in that, and think about what action, what energy you might need to do next. As always, friends, listeners, people who just popped on for one episode, the essence of this show is it always starts with us. As individuals, creating that collective experience. And so on your journeys, please remember to power yourself.